everybody, and welcome to That Wrestling Show, the podcast where all pro wrestling matters. I am Mr. Bill Yankovi, along with Mr. Fro Nagyard. How are you, Fro?
Yeah, bonjour. Mademoiselle, Eiffel Tower, Estragon, oui.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
This week we are going to preview the upcoming Double or Nothing pay-per-view, which is this Saturday night. I gotta say, I'm looking forward to this show. I think probably because it's not WWE.
Yeah.
You know, that we're gonna get to look at the mat. I don't know if it's going to be better than last year, because last year was an outstanding show. It really was. But this year could be pretty good as well.
Oh, yeah.
Also, we're going to discuss the ending of The Masked Singer.
No, we're not.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet?
No, I'm joking. Of course not.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, like, what the hell?
Maybe I didn't like it.
Oh, man. I'm going to save my thoughts for when we get to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say this, but before we get into that later, there were some people that apparently were making racist remarks about the winner and all that. Come on.
That's stupid. That's come on.
But we gotta start off, unfortunately, with the news of the week, and this is one that I don't think any of us could have seen coming a week ago, especially after the wonderful news that Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins are going to have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Shad Gaspard passed away during the week, and this story was getting coverage outside of wrestling. To go into detail, he and his son, 10 years old, they were at the beach in California, and they had gone swimming. Now, the tides in the water, they were starting to pick up. They were starting mm-hmm. to, you know, get bigger and badder. And it got to the point where both of them were in trouble, Shad and his son. His son is 10 years old. The lifeguards are going to save him, or save them. Shad yells out, "Save my son first. Save my son." So they went and they did save his son. But the tides swept Shad away.
The tide was tide. Mm.
And they had done about 3 days worth of searching for Shad. Just, you know, with the glimmer of hope that he was alive. And he was found yesterday. His body was found. And obviously Shad is dead.
Yep.
I think where this hits hard for a lot of people is the fact that he did one of the most unselfish things that you could ever ask or be asked to do.
I agree.
And that is put your son, your son's life before yours.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to do that, I think makes a lot of us admire him even more.
Definitely.
Than what we had. I mean, I obviously don't have any kids. Of course, I've told you guys on multiple occasions I have nephews, and I think the world of my nephews. I could never imagine. And you have nephews as well. I just cannot imagine ever being put in that kind of a situation, that kind of a split-second decision.
Yeah.
And we're not, you know, with Shad Gaspard, we do remember him mostly as a tag team wrestler in Crime Time with JTG, which I liked that tag team. I really did. I thought they should have had a run as tag team champions. But what they did in wrestling is not really the point. It's not even the matter right now. What is important is the fact that we have learned, I think, more in 4 days about Shad Gaspard's life outside of the ring than we will ever do inside the ring. And what we have learned is this guy was a caring man, a loving man, who put his family first before anything else. And was somebody who was in his kid's life, was in his son's life. And we live in a society today where the dad, and this is, and I'm not trying to make this a race thing, because this is across all races. It doesn't matter. I've seen this firsthand as a teacher, where the dad is not involved in a kid's life. And I think the fact that Shad Gaspard put his family in front of him, put his family first, made, you know, raised his family, raised his son tremendously, is just, I just admire the guy. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
And JTG sent out a picture of a text that he had gotten from Shad Gaspard back in January. And it was the day that Kobe Bryant died. And in the text, Shad said to JTG, "If I die tomorrow, I want you to know that I love you and I love you like a brother." That's how much he cared about people. And I think we need more people like that in this world, especially men, who would go out of their way to tell people, "Hey, I love you." And it's the honest truth. It really is. Right now, our thoughts, prayers go out to his friends and his family, especially his family. This is one of those weird, you know, situation things that you just don't ever think could ever happen to anyone. And it does. And that's the scariest part, is it can happen to anyone. If you are looking to help out the family, Collar and Elbow, which sell shirts, are selling Shad Gaspard t-shirts. All the proceeds will go directly to his family, and if you can't afford the shirt but still want to donate, you could send donations via, excuse me, PayPal to collarxelbow@gmail.com. And put in the notes the word beast. And you can send your donations there. And then, if the beginning of the week was not bad enough or make you feel uncomfortable, Tuesday night was the season finale of Dark Side of the Ring. And this was Owen Hart. This was the Owen Hart episode.
That is maybe one of the hardest things I have ever watched in my entire life.
Yeah.
It was very well done. And I say this with all respect, because I have a lot of respect for him and his family. I think they did him justice.
I'll tell you, May 23rd, the date itself is a hard day for me, because that's the same day that my grandmother died. But 8 years later. And that's one of my roughest days of the year, every year. Because not only of my grandma, who supported me, but also because of Owen. I remember everything that happened the night it happened, to the next morning, because I did not get, I didn't order the show. I didn't get the show. My dad and I watched Sunday Night Baseball that week, or that night. And it was the Baltimore Orioles playing. They were playing the Texas Rangers. So I'm watching. The Orioles are putting a pounding on the Texas Rangers. And I had school the next morning. And I was actually one of those kids who, you know, when I was in that age range of when your parents told you it was time to go to bed, I was like, okay, I'm going to go to bed. So the Orioles basically, like, in the early stages of that game, had it wrapped up, had it won. So I go to sleep that night. Just normal. Wake up the next morning, my parents are up, because they got to get ready to go to work, and I got to get ready to go to school. So I lay on the couch waiting for my breakfast to be ready. And my dad comes over, and he sort of wakes me a little bit. And he asks me, Bill, do you know a wrestler by the name of Owen Hart? And I was like, yeah, I do. And he just told me right away, he died last night. And I was like, well, what happened? You know? And then I think he briefly explained what happened. And then it was just a stunning thing. And then I went to school that day. I probably should not have, but I did. Then I watched Raw that night. A little bit of it. I didn't stay up for the whole show. Wish I had, now that I think about it. And just how many people Owen Hart had touched. How many lives he's touched. I mean, those clips are up on YouTube for those who have not seen them. I mean, people are crying left and right. Mark Henry wrote a poem. He was crying. Jared, Deborah, they were, you know, how could you console them? You know, it was such a devastating blow. And then the lawsuit happens, the trial happens. You know, she does get money. I think it was like $18 million. And then
do you think that was fair, by the way? That she got that much?
Well, I think, well, you got to look at it like this. And they did mention it in the episode. If that trial had happened in Connecticut, they were getting nothing. Absolutely nothing. Honestly, I think they should have gotten a little bit more money.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, 18 is a good number, but maybe 20 million now that I look at it. But then you get, you know, the stories of like, and I had never heard the story that they went up, you know, like the catwalk to see where Owen, you know, had been that night. And in the pictures, oh my gosh. And then the thing that got me the most in that episode, of all people, Jim Cornette breaks down and cried. Jim Cornette, who...
Why did that surprise you?
I never thought he would cry, honestly. Because, you know, he has all this stuff to say, and I just never thought I'd see him cry. But then...
He's not a crier?
Yeah, I never thought I'd see that. But then, you know, like the end of the episode, when they talk about... Well, the WWE Hall of Fame, but also other Hall of Fames as well. To hear Oge say he doesn't want him in, after hearing for so long Martha didn't want or doesn't want him in, I had a strange comfort in me going, I can accept that now. And I know in the past I have made remarks, made comments arguing for Owen to be in, and probably have said stuff about Martha in that I look back on it now, probably shouldn't have. And I apologize for that. Because, I mean, the wrestlers, the wrestlers have always cared about Owen. She's never been mad at the wrestlers. Let's say that for the record. She was never mad at the wrestlers. She was never mad, you know, at the small... She was only mad at Vince McMahon and the head people at WWE. And she has every right to be.
I agree. I mean, they killed her husband.
Yeah, they did. I think I can live now comfortably if he never gets in to the WWE Hall of Fame, because he actually is in a couple other wrestling Hall of Fames. He's in two of them. If he ever is inducted in, that's just going to open up so many cans of worms. It's just going to be, you know, it's just, oh, man. But the only thing, Fro, that I felt very uncomfortable about the whole day leading up to that show, and I understand where Martha and Oge and Athena are coming from with this, but I still feel uncomfortable about this, is they have released, for the first time, Owen Hart shirts on ProWrestlingTees.com in association with Dark Side of the Ring. And all the proceeds from the sales of the shirts are going to the Owen Hart Foundation. I just don't feel... I don't know. There was just something about it that just didn't make me feel comfortable. At all. Still don't.
I think that's kind of weird. Why?
I don't know, Fro. I wish I had an answer for you. I really do. But
I mean, it goes to good case.
It does.
Don't you think?
It does.
So,
I mean, I'm not getting. I'm not getting a shirt. I just, you know, just felt like, oh man, you know. But I will say this to wrap this up. I remember a few years ago listening to a podcast, and somebody said something that was a very good line, and it was, when I got older, I appreciated X wrestler a whole lot more than I did when I was younger. To me, that is Owen Hart for me. Because, you know, as a kid, you know, like, oh, Owen Hart's a bad guy, you know, he's, you know, we're supposed to hate him and all that. But when you look back at his stuff, holy crap, not only is he good in the ring, but he's unbelievable in the promo. He's the best promo guy of the entire Hart family. He really is. And then, you know, he ends up joining the Nation of Domination, the rock version. And he's like the perfect fit for them, you know? It's like, man, you know, if anyone has gotten screwed out as much as these guys, Owen is like at the top of the list or near the top of the list. And, I mean, the man is so loved to this day. Wrestlers, young and old, still talk about him. Fans talk about him. You know, and I think that's a testament, 21 years later, to the legacy of Owen Hart, is he's still loved. He might be one of the most beloved people ever in wrestling. And that's saying something.
I would say he is actually the most beloved.
He might be. Because I've never heard one bad thing said about him. Not one.
I mean,
Austin was mad about what happened at SummerSlam when he took that tombstone. And it was an accident. It was. But I can understand Austin's frustration, but accidents happen. But with Owen, the fact that he would not do an angle where he is cheating with Deborah because he's married. That's, dude, that's a freaking man right there. It really is. And of course, whatever happens with Martha and WWE, that's just going to go on forever, folks. It just is.
But, yeah, sadly.
I just wanted to get that out of my system. It's been in my mind, like, this week, for like the last 2 days, hasn't really been that good. I guess mentally, but I'm just glad that we could talk about this in a serious manner, get it out of our system. And, you know, I think just to wrap it up, I think people are going to, you know, the younger fans, the younger generations that come up, they're going to know how much we all loved Owen and how special of a talent he was. And he was special. The best wrestler in the Hart family, in my opinion, is Owen. Hands down.
Ooh. Really?
Yeah. I really feel that way.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, you know. I mean, if you want to say Keith Hart, go right ahead.
Yeah, no, Natalia Hart.
No, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. Okay, so yesterday, because we are doing the show early this week, was the season finale of The Masked Singer.
It was.
Excuse me.
Guess you won, everybody.
Yeah, really.
I didn't say I would be angry if you won or something.
Well, let's talk about the. Well, obviously, the final performance doesn't really matter. I don't think.
Yeah.
But we'll just go through it anyway. Frog sang "Bad Boy for Life." Black Rob, mm-hmm. Mark Curry, P. Diddy. Turtle sang "Before You Go" by Lewis Capaldi, and Nine Angels sang "River Deep, Mountain High" by Tina Turner. Oh my God! I thought I was a criminal coming in. Holy crap!
Did someone scare you?
Yes. So third place.
Give me your money or a beer.
Well, there you go. The beer's in the workroom, in the fridge, on the shelf.
Stop scaring your son.
Okay, so third place was Frog.
Yes.
Second place was Turtle, and the winner was Night Angel.
Yeah, I was 110% correct.
The frog, to no one's surprise, was Arf Arf. I mean, Bow Wow.
Arf Arf. Arf Arf. That's funny.
Thank you. Turtle was Jesse McCartney. And Night Angel was Candy Burris.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where I have my problem. And I want to say this for the record. It has nothing to do with race, because apparently on a couple of like Facebook groups, people were making comments about, you know,
people are racist.
They really are. It's freaking ridiculous. Here's my argument why Night Angel should not have won. When you look back at the performances of Night Angel, they're not all that good.
I totally agree.
They're really not. And then there are some weeks where I said, you know, she's coasting in her performances. Like, she's not putting in the effort to, you know, be, a, you know, to say, hey, this person's going to win. Like, okay, and I have all of her performances here in front of me. Her first performance was You Give Love a Bad Name by Bon Jovi. That was a good performance. That was a good performance. I liked that one. Her second one was Million Reasons by Lady Gaga.
That is one of my favorites, maybe.
Okay, yeah, I agree with that.
Of her.
Yeah. This is where she starts to fall for me. Weak, her third performance, she sings Shout. You know, a little bit louder now, a little bit louder now. And you're in a position to where you're going to go to the, what was it, the Super 9, they called it?
Yeah, I think so.
She just, it was like, oh, she coasted. She didn't really put much effort into it.
No, I agree.
Then you get to the Super 9. She sings Rise Up by Andra Day.
Rise Up.
What was it? Was it that good? I don't remember.
No.
And then this is the one that kills me. This is the if there was a week where she should have gone out, this is the week. Because she sings, well, quote unquote sings, Man, I Feel Like a Woman by Shania Twain.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Where Kangaroo sang No Air by Jordan Sparks, and she did an amazing job. And yet Night Angel wins. Night Angel advances. Then she sings Black Velvet by Alana Miles, to which Jenny McCartney says is the greatest performance in the history of the show. Bullshit. Bullshit. The banana the week before had a much better performance with Knocking on Heaven's Door. Then Night Angel sings The Last Dance by Donna Summers. It was okay.
It's totally
Yeah.
Eh.
And then Night Angel sings How to Love by Lil Wayne.
Yeah, that was bad.
And then her last performance is her last performance.
I liked her last, though. That was good.
It was okay. I just don't think she should have won.
No. Who did you think should have won of those who were left?
I think Turtle was the overall best performer.
Oh, definitely.
And that's where the first two seasons they got it right. You know, Monster and Fox were the best performers of the entire season, beginning to end. Here, Night Angel, to me anyway, wasn't that good the entire season.
No, it is about constancy?
Consistency?
Consistency.
Exactly, that. She was not consistent.
No.
Was not.
So, at least we got an answer if there's coming back or not.
They are going to do a fourth season.
Yeah.
Just not sure when.
When? Yes. I have no clue.
So, excuse me. We'll have to wait and see how it goes down. If you had to pick a character for the next season, What would you like it to be?
I would. A Viking would be cool.
Ooh, actually, that is pretty good.
Yeah, a Viking.
That I never even thought of that. Holy cow, that's. I was actually in the animal kingdom mindset. I was thinking, because I don't think we've had this yet. What about a lion?
Oh, a lion, yeah.
I don't think we've had a lion yet.
That would also be nice. I don't know. What else?
How about broccoli? We've had a banana and we've had a cupcake. Why not have broccoli?
Yeah, I will tell you why you don't have broccoli. It's not good.
I know. Or
broccoli tastes awful.
We could have corn on the cob, and then it could be revealed to be broccoli. Played by Eddie Murphy from Saturday Night Live.
Revealed to be who, sorry?
Buckwheat, who's played by Eddie Murphy.
Oh, yeah. That would be funny.
That was funny.
Mm-hmm.
All the dingle ladies. All the dingle ladies.
The dingle ladies.
All the dingle ladies.
Mm-hmm. Let's do that.
Could we please? And he has to sing like Buckwheat, too. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Paul went in love with Boo.
We come up with all the best ideas there.
And you guys thought this was going to be our most depressing episode ever.
No.
We only made the first half hour that way.
Yeah.
We had to get the sad. We had to, we had to go through the serious stuff first. Okay. Bro, I have a little bit of a problem. No, not with you.
Okay.
Not with you. If I ever had a problem with you, I'd tell you. Probably wouldn't do it on air, but, I'd tell you.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I hope you would probably not do it on air. Yes.
Oh, yeah, by the way, this is your last day. You're fired.
No, yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Hate you.
I know. Anyway. Because, honestly, folks, there's no WWE and AEW news. Well, let me take that back. Drew Gulak getting released over the weekend.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. Well, but yeah.
Okay, actually, let me rephrase that. He was not released. His contract ran out, and mm-hmm. he chose not to re-sign.
Mm-hmm.
And WWE's like, okay, well, thank you for your services.
Yeah.
That surprised me a little bit, but, until they got the full details of, oh, he never got released. He just didn't re-sign. Okay. Could we be mentioning Drew's name a little bit later on, folks, when we preview Double or Nothing?
Maybe. Mm-hmm.
Maybe. We'll have to wait and see.
Maybe. Maybe we'll talk about him.
Ooh. All right. In all seriousness, I want to talk about Combat Zone Wrestling, CZW. They've been around for 20-plus years. And they've done some stuff in the past that, would raise an eyebrow or two over the years. But a few months ago, they agreed to do like compilations on pay-per-view, like best ofs sort of things. Let me read you some of these titles that have gone on to pay-per-view, Fro. Hair-pulling cat fights.
Mm-hmm.
Top Heavy and Tough. Hot and Sweaty. And all assets revealed.
Okay.
Do you notice a common theme there?
No.
Okay, these are all female shows that have been on pay-per-view.
Okay.
Because not only are we getting CZW stuff on there, but we're also getting WSU, which is Women Superstars Uncensored, I think is the name of it. If I got it wrong, I apologize. Well, Fro, some of these videos or clips have ended up on softcore porn sites.
Sorry. I'm sorry, that's funny. Okay.
One of the wrestlers who has been on these, Lufisto, made a video saying that she is not an adult film star. She is a professional wrestler. And that the fact that these videos are getting put up on these sites is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, she's been wrestling for almost 20 years. She's been in the game a long time.
Well, I agree that it's pretty ridiculous, to be honest.
Well, CZW had a reply a few days ago, and I'd like to read their quote, if you don't mind.
Oh, no.
2 years ago, CZW entered into a licensing agreement with a national media distributor to license CZW and WSU footage. That company has the right to utilize the footage without limitation. They have repackaged and renamed shows as it is their right to do so. Our athletes, regardless of gender, are just that, athletes, whom we are proud of and appreciate. We stand behind the ring action in all our footage. As soon as that quote came out, the floodgates opened, Fro.
Why am I not surprised?
Exactly. Let me read some of these comments. A lot of them are from female wrestlers. Jordan Grace,
Let me guess, they weren't really happy about the things they said?
Yeah.
Wonder why.
Jordan Grace, who is the current Impact Wrestling Women or Knockouts champion, replied...
Yeah, very good wrestler, very good, by the way.
Yes. Very good. I like her work.
Maybe underrated.
She said, just so everyone is aware, there are many women already speaking to lawyers about this, as releases were not signed to authorize licensing footage for profit and distribution. Kimberly, who also wrestled in CZW at one point, wrote, and I'm certain I never, in capital letters, signed an agreement giving you the right to sell my intellectual property. Nor did any of the women you blatantly disrespecting, or how you told us all you wouldn't book us if you wouldn't F us. It's about time the harassment gets exposed. She is referring to the owner of CZW Wrestling, DJ Hyde, who I actually have interviewed in the past. Of course, that interview was about 7-8 years ago. And there's a lot of bad stuff that's coming. I'll read Joey Janela's Twitter response.
Let me guess, you didn't like him.
Hey, was wondering if you guys had any information how I can rent Bitchin' in the Kitchen, Killers in the Ring, big-chested, curvy female fighters go from housewives to hot, hardcore grapplers. Thanks.
Wow.
Okay. Here, I want your thoughts first before I get into mine.
It's so Elden sensitive. I love when people are so stupid.
Oh my goodness.
My mom always said stupid is a stupid ass. Yeah.
So how do you feel about, well, first off, the statement that CZW released, and then
they shouldn't have done that statement. Just over the line stupid. I can understand it from a business point that they want to, like, distance themselves from it and things like that, but it makes absolutely no sense to do it like they did. It's very unprofessional, to say it mildly.
I'm going to say this, because I, at a time, was a fan of CZW wrestling in the early to mid-2000s, before DJ Hyde became owner. They had some very good shows. I mean, yeah, they're mostly focused on the deathmatch stuff, but they had, in the day, Cesaro, when he was Claudio Castagnoli.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Hero, Super Dragon, Mike Quackenbush, Sanjay Dutt, B-Boy, Eddie Kingston, the Briscoes. They had so many very good wrestlers at one point or another that came through CZW.
It's too bad that they spoil it and by do stupid shit like that.
Then DJ Hyde gets it. And for a while, it's, you know, up par. It's good. But the last few years, from what I've heard, has not been good. This statement is the absolute worst statement you could ever make to protect yourself.
Oh yeah.
I mean, if I had this problem, I would first off apologize to all of the women that are in this, you know, in these specials. I'd apologize to them. Then I would do everything in my power, if I could, to find a way to get these off of these softcore porn sites.
Yeah.
Then, if I could get another way, and probably, you know, legal reasons wouldn't let me do it, I'd try to get out of this licensing agreement, go to a new one.
Yeah.
If this does not kill the promotion, if this does not kill CZW, I don't know what will at this point.
I will be extremely, extremely surprised, as they say.
I mean, they just basically, folks, sealed their fate with one statement. And if this promotion is dead within a year, guess what episode of Dark Side of the Ring we're going to be getting in a couple of years, bro? We're going to be getting this one. I feel absolutely terrible for all the women that, you know, unfortunately are put into this situation. I really do. And I hope that something positive comes out of this. Although, to be fair, I don't know if there is going to be anything positive that comes out of this.
Yeah, no, it's sad.
It is. It's sad that in 2020, we are still dealing with people like this who have these sick, perverted minds. It is.
Yep.
It really is.
It's sad. It's sad. It's a sad, sad situation.
But if you think about it real quick before we move on, at least they've moved on to better things. We mentioned Jordan. She's the current Knockouts champion. Kimberly
yep.
Lee has been on Impact the last couple of weeks.
Oh, she's so good.
Lufisto is a world-renowned wrestler. She travels everywhere. Solo Darling is making a name for herself on the independents, among other females. So their accomplishments, ultimately, at the end, are going to outshine this bullshit.
Yeah, I hope you're right.
I think it will. There are a lot of fans that are supporting them on this. So. All right. So, I do believe, Fro, it is time to preview an upcoming event.
Yeah, it's been long since we've done this, or it feels like it's long since we've done this, at least.
Yeah, a non-WWE pay-per-view. Can you believe this, folks?
No.
It's been... Okay, the last time Fro and I previewed a non-NXT, non-WWE event was February.
Wow.
3 months.
And yep.
It is AEW's Double or Nothing.
This Saturday, right?
This Saturday. There is going to be a buy-in, which will be at 7:30 p.m. The pay-per-view starts at 8. Fro, we'll have to figure out how we're going to do this, if we're going to have do Discord and I stream it for you guys through legal reasons, or if I'm watching it on my TV on pay-per-view. So
probably not.
We'll figure it out.
We'll talk about
it. Yeah, we'll talk about it off air. All right. So, we do have a buy-in match. This is for the number one contendership to the AEW Tag Team titles. Private Party will take on the Best Friends.
I am going to go with Private Party.
I'm going to go with Best Friends on this one.
I would not be angry if I was incorrect.
I wouldn't be either on your end, but I just think the way Best Friends have been pushed lately, you know, they're just in a good position right now.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the main card, and we'll work our way from the bottom to the top, or at least according to the AEW website. We will start with MJF against Jungle Boy.
MJF.
MJF is going to win, but I actually expect this to be a good match.
Yeah.
I really do expect this to be a good match.
I mean, he has to win.
Yeah. I mean, he hasn't been pinned since, you know, in singles competition. And it's a good thing they pointed it out on TV last night. His only loss was in a four-way, but he was not in the deciding fall. So, in technicality, he's still undefeated, if you want to go that route.
Oh, we definitely want to go that route.
Okay, we'll go that route. All right, next up, Dustin Rhodes against Sean Spears.
Who needs it more? None of them actually needs it.
I know, right? This is tough.
To be honest, it's the over of over matches. I really don't know. Why don't you go first?
Yeah, I'll take this one to start. I think Sean Spears needs this one more. Just because the way he's been on TV the last few weeks, doing those segments about Cody and how he put his older brother ahead of him, I think Sean Spears is going to win this one.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just going to go with the opposite, just because.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. This next match, as of right now, is going to happen. And I'll explain why I said that in a minute. The match is Britt Baker versus Chris Statlander. The reason I said that it is going on as of right now is because last night during Dynamite, Britt Baker had a knee injury. Don't know the severity of the knee injury. Don't know if she will be able to perform Saturday night or not. So for right now, we're going to go as if she is going to compete Saturday night.
Do you think she will?
I think she will, because this is a pay-per-view. Okay. And unless that knee injury is really bad, I think she will go, and I think she will win.
Yeah, they are very... They like the librarian.
No, she's the dentist.
Oh, the dentist, yes, sorry. They very much like the dentist. Sure! But I will agree with you.
I also like Chris Statlander. I like the alien character. But the one thing that Baker has done for me that I can honestly say no wrestler has done in a while as a fan, she's made me hate her. And that's what you're supposed to do as a heel, as a bad guy. You're supposed to be hated. So, she's doing a great job on that. She really is. Alright, then we're going to go to one of two fun matches that we're going to have. I'm going to save the title matches for the end. We're having the first ever casino ladder match where the winner will receive an AEW world title shot. So before I get into the participants, I'm going to explain the rules. We will start the match with two participants. Every 90 seconds, another person's going to come until all nine have come. Or will they? Because you can win the match at any point, even if all nine do not make it out, which I highly doubt will happen. But first person to climb up, grab the contract, wins the title shot. So, here are the current people in the match. Orange Cassidy, Rey Fénix, Darby Allin, Colt Cabana, Luchasaurus, Kip Sabian, Frankie Kazarian, Scorpio Sky, and a mystery competitor.
I'm going to go with a mystery competitor.
All right. Would you venture to guess who the mystery competitor will be?
No.
Okay.
I don't know the roster good enough to do that.
Could it be a debut? I'll ask you that. Could it be a debut?
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Could be somebody from WWE that we were like, oh, really? Yeah.
I'm going to go Scorpio Sky on this one.
I like Scorpio.
I do too. Although I honestly, any of the, well, at least of the eight, I would not be upset. Once we know who the ninth is, then I'll decide if I won't be mad at the winner or not.
Yeah, if it's like Hornswoggle or something.
No, I think because the match is too big, they're not going to do Hornswoggle. I really
don't. No, I'm just saying.
Right. Yeah, no, I understand. Then we have this other match, which I am looking forward to. This is going to be a bonanza. The Inner Circle will face the Elite in a Stadium Stampede match.
I'm really looking forward to this. This is maybe my match of the night.
So, for those who don't know what this match is going to be, this match is going to be held at the stadium of the Jacksonville Jaguars because Tony Khan's dad owns the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Mm-hmm.
The ring will be in the middle of the football field. It will be at the 50-yard line. They can go anywhere in the stadium. They can fight anywhere. Just as long as...
This is going to be... let's show this off. And this off. And that off.
Probably. Just as long as we have a winner.
I'm really looking forward to this.
This is going
to
be fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good substitute for the Blood and Guts match.
Oh, yeah.
Because that one you need to have fans there for. This one you don't. I think Inner Circle's going to win this one.
Definitely.
All right. Now we go to our three title matches. Nyla Rose will defend the AEW Women's title against Hikaru Shida in a no disqualification, no countout match.
Yeah, because of the stipulation, I'm going to go with the champion.
Yeah, I think I'm going to agree with you on that. Plus, Nyla hasn't had many title defenses. Since she's
no, and I mean she's good, so why?
She's getting better.
Yeah,
I'll say that she's getting better. Then we have the finals. Pardon me. We have the finals of the TNT Championship Tournament. We're gonna crown the first ever TNT champion, and Iron Mike Tyson will be there to present the title to the winner of this match, Cody or Lance Archer.
Lance.
Oh, man. This is actually the hardest one to pick.
Cody doesn't need it.
I know. I know he doesn't need it, but you have Mike Tyson there.
I know.
Oh. I want Lance to win, but I think it's gonna be Cody.
No.
All right, now let me ask you this while I have you. Who, and it doesn't have to necessarily be from this match. Who is Mike Tyson going to knock out Saturday night? Because you know it's gonna happen.
That is a good question. I am going to guess Lance.
I think it's going to be MJF.
Okay.
Only be... Oh, that's probably Mike Tyson now on the phone.
Mike Tyson. Yes. That's talking to you.
I'm Mike Tyson, former heavyweight boxing champion of the world and super wrestling fan enthusiast for Encyclopedia Britannica. No, just kidding. I like Mike.
Mike is nice. He's
paid his dues to society.
Yeah.
All right. And now to the main event. Or at least we think it's the main event. But it probably will be the main event. AEW World Title, Mr. Brody Lee, challenging the champion, John Moxley.
Yeah. I wish I knew who's going to win here. Because I really don't.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't think it is as clear as everybody wants it to be honest. I think it's too easy to say, oh, Moxley's going to take this. I don't know if he will. I have many reasons why I want to say that, but I mean, mostly I just feel like they have done a build up here that for me it seems at least plausible that he could lose
in a very short period of time.
Definitely. And I do think that I really don't know who's going to win here. I think it is too easy to say it's 100% sure it's going to be Moxley. And no.
I'm just going to go with Moxley only because, and this is with all due respect to Lee, because I think he's a hell of a talent. I really do. It's maybe too soon to put the title on him.
Really?
Honestly, I think this match is happening too soon. I think this match could have happened in at the All Out pay-per-view. I don't know. I just think Moxley's going to keep it. But if Brody Lee does win, I will be very happy. Because he definitely deserves it.
I just think they really... they like to surprise us more than WWE does.
Do.
That you
they
have
do.
To agree with.
You are right.
And I do think that bringing him kind of back here is like, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go with Brody Lee.
Wow.
I'm going to call it the upset of the night and go with Brody. Yeah.
Call your shot. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we will have to wait and see come Saturday night.
I am definitely not sure.
We'll have to wait and see if we get a new champ or not.
I'm saying that right away. I'm not like betting anything on it.
No. Not on this match.
But for me, I kind of like this match.
It should be a good match.
Mm.
It really should. All right. Well, that's gonna do it actually for this week. Because we are doing this a little early for the week, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, do our usual plugs. If you guys have any questions or comments, send an email. WrestlingMan@thatwrestlingshow.com. Follow the show on Twitter @WrestlingShow11. Follow us on Instagram @thatwrestlingshow. Join our Facebook group, facebook.com/thatwrestlingshowfangroup. Or you can type that in the search bar, That Wrestling Show Fan Group. You're right there. And if you can't find it, it's okay. I put the link in the description of each and every episode. And please visit our Patreon page, patreon.com/thatwrestlingshow, where if you join right now, and bro, I do apologize, I've been busy the last few days, you will hear the latest of Fro Watches as he watches celebrities ruin your favorite Disney songs.
Mm-hmm.
So,
celebrities and fro.
What did you and Luke discuss this week on Another Digital Citizen?
Oh, we had a very fun topic. I love talking about religion, and I definitely love talking about the Kalam cosmological argument. That is what our main topic of last week was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, we have some podcasts that we want you guys to check out. Starting off with Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast with Joe Morata and Michael Quinn. They take you through the world of retro wrestling really like no other podcast does. Now, this week, they've put out two pieces of content that you should check out. They do a live review of Halloween Havoc 1991. That's a fun show to listen to. I listened to that last week. Or over the weekend. That was a really fun show. And then, their weekly show this week, they have a fresh perspective on your lordship, Alfred Hayes, plus week 4 of the Royal Rankings of the greatest WWF Tag Team Champions of all time. And because we're still in the mood of Herb Abrams' UWF episode, they review UWF Wrestling's Greatest Champions videotape.
Wow.
And I almost bought that last week. Almost. Made me glad I didn't after listening to that review.
It wasn't good?
No. There's a lot of editing that they did poorly on the videotape from what I
read. So
check it out. Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. Now, if you like your podcasts hosted by one individual who's probably still upset that the hockey season hasn't continued, let's take you and give you greetings from Allentown with PW.
Oh, I didn't get to say it.
Okay, go ahead.
Greetings from Allentown.
Fro has actually told me, like, if I don't let him do it, it ruins his week. So, you know, I do it to make him happy.
I'm going to cry all day.
Good. Anyway, join Peter Winston as he watches one episode of wrestling each week and describes it and talks about it in his own unique way. This week, he watches an episode of WWF Superstars from July 22nd, 1989, with the debut of Dusty Rhodes.
Who?
I think he's a common man.
Hmm.
Works hard with his hands.
I've never heard of him.
Huh. And also, he did a special quote-unquote live edition of Greetings from Allentown, where he and a friend of his watch the highest grossing movie of 1995, Die Hard with a Vengeance.
One of my favorite Die Hard movies.
You know, I learned a while back, before we get to the next podcast, my mom is a fan of that movie. I did not know that.
Die Hard?
Yeah, she likes the first Die Hard movie.
Yeah,
and this is
good.
A woman who will not watch if anyone is throwing up or if blood is being lost all over the place. But
I can tell you which one is the worst Die Hard movie without thinking.
What
last?
Oh well, yeah, that's true. It is Bruce Willis.
He's so handsome.
She does have a good point. Also, check out The Road Home from Wrestling with our pal, Drucifer Jones. This week, he is joined by Cam Adams from PPW and Chad French from Midwest Territory as they previewed the upcoming Paul Cade charity show. So we'll have to check that out. That is The Road Home from Wrestling. And also check out Juice Pro Wrestling with my pal Juice, along with Sretten, as this week they discuss, among other things, the finale of The Last Dance, which was very well done, I must say, plus the Last Ride documentary with The Undertaker, which is actually going good. I'm enjoying it.
I need so much to see that. It looks so interesting.
It's good.
And he's my favorite wrestler of all time, so I really should.
Plus, they also talk about Mortal Kombat 11 and much more. That is Juice Pro Wrestling.
Now, yeah, it has gotten a new DLC now called Aftermath, I think it was.
Oh, I haven't heard about this.
Yeah.
Now, if you're looking for...
I'm very not into Mortal Kombat, by the way. I just knew that because I know somebody that's very into it.
I know my parents would have never let me play that game. As a kid, I just knew there's no way they're going to let me play that.
I mean, why would they?
Well, I'm not going to get into it. You know.
Why would they let you?
Why would they not let me?
Yeah.
Because of how freaking violent the game is.
It's not that violent.
In 93? Yes, that was pretty violent.
Eh. Pussies.
That was 93. Not 2020. Today, I probably could get away with playing it, but not in 1993.
It's a good game.
All right, now if you're looking for non-wrestling related podcasts, check out the Best Pick Movie Podcast with Don, Tom, and Jess, who recently, and I want to say this publicly, they recently got nominated for a British Podcast Award. So congratulations to all three of you guys. I'm a big fan of this podcast. I love this podcast, so.
Me too. It was kind of a joke. Yes.
So they watch each and every Best Picture Academy Award winning movie in no particular order, and they decide ultimately if the Academy got it right. This week, they discuss the Best Picture winner of 1978, The Deer Hunter.
Oh, that's a good one.
Would you like the list of other nominees?
I would.
All right. We have Coming Home. Heaven Can Wait.
Oh, that's a good one.
Midnight Express.
Oh.
And An Unmarried Woman.
Never seen that. Yeah, I think the Academy got it right. I don't think that's very controversial.
All right, I guess it's my turn. I'm not really a fan of The Deer Hunter.
Wow.
Here's my thing. The beginning of the movie is good. I do like the beginning of the movie.
Everything is good about the movie.
But somewhere in the middle, it just is long and drawn and boring.
Wow.
So, my pick is going to be one that wasn't even nominated for Best Picture, but did get a couple of, or at least one Academy Award nomination. My pick is Grease. Because I haven't seen many 1978 movies.
Grease isn't that bad, to be honest.
I love Grease. It's such a good movie. Oh God, I'm gonna.
I wouldn't say it's great, but it is something.
I'm gonna get beat up for that later. So yeah, check it out, the Best Pick Movie Podcast. Also check out Unspooled with Paul and Amy. They watch each movie from AFI's list of the 100 greatest movies of all time, the 2007 edition. This week, they discuss The Bridge on the River Kwai.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That stars Alec Guinness before he was old. Yes. So, I know we have a videotape of that, I think. I might watch. I'll probably watch it some.
Oh, that's... Have you not seen that?
I might have seen bits and pieces of it when I was a little kid, but that was because I wanted to hang out with my dad. But I've never seen the whole movie.
It is extremely good.
Maybe I'll check it out. Also, check out Sharks Pond, a South Park podcast where I watch and review each and every South Park episode. This week, I review the Season 9 episode, Follow That Egg.
Follow it!
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And sorry, Ted, I don't make any Sesame Street comparisons for this episode. I know it sounds like Follow That Bird, the 1985 movie with the cast of Sesame Street.
I have never seen it.
It's a good movie.
Really?
Yeah, I'd recommend it. Although, sounds I think although I might have ruined Ted's life when I mentioned that Maria from Sesame Street has a mustache in the movie, but that's...
Oh my gosh.
She does! There's a close up. Okay, I've probably just ruined a bunch of people's lives just now, so... and finally, Eliminated, a Royal Rumble podcast comes out this Sunday. Myself, Jim Boy Star, and we have our special guest, Sarah. We talk about, we discuss the 2020 Women's Royal Rumble match. All right. Next week, we are going to review Double or Nothing here on the show, along with other stuff. There's no match.
Become a patron member because you will hear it first there.
If you become a patron member for $3, that's the tier you want to go for, you will get a first exclusive review of the pay-per-view. That's one of the benefits. On that note, everybody have a good, safe Memorial Day weekend. It is Memorial Day weekend here in the U.S. To everyone else, have a good weekend. And come back next week for another episode of That Wrestling Show, the podcast where all pro wrestling matters. And as always,
wrestle on!
Wrestle on!